Okay.
Can't hear. Why can't I hear?
I don't think anybody's talking, but
There you go.
we did lose Bob, so we don't have quorum. There, he's trying to get back in.
I think he's back.
Letty, I think we can do roll call now.
Okay. So, Adrian Ackerman could not make it. Alex Jimenez?
Here.
Thank you. Ann Lopez?
Here.
Thank you. Corinne Cooper?
Here.
Thank you. Lily Tate could not make it. Jim Glock?
Here.
Thank you. Janet Fisher?
Here.
Thank you. Kenneth Smith?
Here.
Thank you. Lara Somers?
Here.
Thank you. Margaret Joplin?
Here.
Thank you. Maureen Lewick?
Here.
Thank you. Mal Dominguez could not make it. I do not see Nancy Fung. Bob Clark?
Here.
Thank you. And Valerie Sanchez? I do not see. And Valerie Sip?
Here.
Thank you. So we do have quorum, Chair.
Great. Thanks, everyone, for being here. Let's see here. Looks like we have a fairly easy agenda this time around. I don't have a co-chair today, and there's a chance I might have to attend to people who are coming to do some work on my house. So I don't know, Abby or someone, staff can, I'll let you know if I have to go for like a minute to just direct them. We had our water heater corroded out and like leaked water all over our house overnight. So now we have all this like water damage and everything's going to be ripped out. So anyways, it's just like a mess dealing with today. Just letting you know if I seem a little distracted. I'm sorry. I'm going to try to be here to chair the meeting. So let's see here. We have usually our Pledge of Allegiance or moment of silence. So I will put a minute up, and should anyone feel like they need to do the Pledge of Allegiance, you can. Okay, great. So, welcome everybody. It was so nice to see everybody in person at our last meeting. I really appreciate y'all taking the effort to come and be there. And maybe we'll do it again in 6 months or a year. But we got a lot of good work done. So I was really happy for that. Thanks to Abby and the team for pulling that off. And Wilwyn with your display. And then what other, I know that we had, Kenna had brought it attention that we're supposed to have an agenda item that didn't make it onto the agenda. My apologies. I don't know. None of us caught that. We had that written down somewhere, but it didn't make it onto our agenda in time to be listed. So we couldn't add it to this month. And but the agenda item was to have us discuss how PACD can better recruit or inform regional artists into the fold with the 1% and the calls to arts. So a good conversation to be had. It'll just have to happen next month, but hopefully there'll be more at that meeting anyways. And then I think it might be a bit of a shorter meeting today because someone has to leave a little early. Corinne has to leave a little early, correct? So we'll just keep going through our current agenda. And like I said, my apologies for not catching that agenda item. So let's see here. We'll move to review and approval of the June 14th, 2023 meeting minutes.
Move to approve.
Okay.
Second.
All right, thank you.
I'm sorry, who seconded?
I did.
Margaret. Oh,
thank you, Margaret. Okay, I will, is there any discussion? Okay, I will do roll call. Alex Jimenez?
Approve.
Thank you. Ann Lopez?
Approve.
Thank you. Corinne Cooper?
Approve.
Thank you. Jim Block?
Approve.
Thank you. Janet Fisher?
Approve.
Thank you. Kenna Smith?
Approve.
Thank you. Lara Somers?
Approve.
Thank you. Margaret Joplin?
Approve.
Thank you. Maureen Lewitt?
Approve.
Thank you. Bob Clark?
Approve.
Thank you. And Valerie Sitt?
Approve.
Thank you. We do have an approval. Chair Alex.
Great. Thanks, everybody. So moving to our, looks like our only action item, public art donation approval for Many Flowers, One Garden. Take it away, Abby.
Awesome. Thank you, everyone. Before I get started with the presentation, I'd like to introduce Rhonda, who is here from the Palo Verde Park Neighborhood Association, and who is the donor who submitted the application for this project. So we'll open it up for questions for her at the end, but first I'll kind of go over the project information. So I'll share my screen quickly here. Oh, let's see here. It looks like host has disabled screen sharing. Can we, okay, let me try again. There we go. Perfect. Thank you. All right, I will get that. Perfect. So I've compiled some information here about the project. And I'll start off the title, Many Flowers, One Garden. And the artwork is proposed to be in the Palo Verde Park neighborhood at the intersection of Man and Lehigh. And here's an introduction that's taken right from the application itself, kind of talking about the project. The art project is designed to share the values of the neighborhood and the school. The theme, Many Flowers, One Garden, is a message of inclusion and appreciation of the strength and beauty of diversity. The project also builds on similar installations the artist has completed at the Palo Verde Park with a floral design. Nature was one of the values the neighborhood highlighted when the association was being formed. So this piece will create an echo to that theme throughout the park. And its location at that intersection, there's a large park right here, and then a school here, and houses in the neighborhood then kind of surrounding all of those elements. So it's a pretty high traffic intersection there, and the artwork is a proposed asphalt art mural. The artist is Angela Pittenger, who worked with students to design the project that'll be at the intersection. And the funding for the project is from the America Walks program, as well as ARPA funding from Ward 2. And the funding must be used by the end of the calendar year. So a little information about some community collaborations. The Neighborhood Association is working, like I said, with Ward 2, but then they've also got participation from the elementary school, Kelland Elementary. They're working with the Living Streets Alliance, and they've been in discussion with the Department of Transportation. So ideally, they're hoping to paint this intersection at a community event, like a neighborhood block party in November. And the students were also involved, like I said, with the creation of the project. So the school is right there on the corner, and you can see in the image here, here's the school, and the intersection is this one that's just right behind. So a lot of students coming and going. And the Neighborhood Association talked with students about traffic calming procedures, and they were very on board. And then the artist, Angela, worked with students to create the flower designs that are used in the proposal. So a little information about the materials and installation details. Like I said, the artwork will be painted at a community event, and they're planning to use the HNC ColorTop water-based concrete stain. This is one that's been used in a lot of recent asphalt art projects that have been really successful, and they seem to be holding up well. So we know that's a sustainable material. And they're currently in discussions with the Department of Transportation to apply for the necessary permits to have a community painting event. And the lifespan of the materials is estimated to be about 3 years. So the artwork is to be repainted at 3 years or as needed at the city's discretion. So a few more photos of the area. And at this point, I'd like to open it up for questions for Rhonda, if anyone has any questions. And I'll stop sharing my screen here. And Rhonda, also, if you have any information that you'd like to share, anything additional, please feel free.
Thank you. No, that was a very comprehensive wrap up. We did get approval today from DTM. Gabriella has sent it through her process so that she can work on permitting next, pending approval from this body. So thanks. I'm available for any questions. We're really excited about the project.
Thank you.
I have a question. So I saw there that the lifespan is 3 years with it to be touched up, and it'll be touched up. The artist is aware that they're going to have to do touch-ups, or is that something the school is planning to take care of?
It would probably be another block party concept, I think, is what we're thinking. It wouldn't be the artist's responsibility.
And Corinne has a question. Go ahead.
Yes, it's along the same lines of the 3 years. Is there funding available for materials in 3 years, or will that come back to us, or it will be approved pending funding available?
So I'll jump in here. Pieces that are accepted into the public art collection are then added to the city's collection, which the city is taking responsibility for maintenance. So funding for those maintenance projects would be something we would have to budget in as we're seeing that the artwork is needing repair. So that's coming from the existing public art maintenance budgets.
Maybe this is for another conversation and not this particular donation approval, but that's with asphalt art being something that's becoming more common. It doesn't quite seem like it's something that would, it's something that's kind of impermanent in the first place. So for it to be a
permanently the responsibility of the city seems like a lot, which kind of got brought up when one of our last asphalt projects.
Yes. So you're right that that is a conversation that we're kind of having with the Department of Transportation, and that we've kind of talked about in regard to this project, since this is one that was designed with the students and with the school in mind, this is going to always be a high traffic area. So that's why it's intended to be kind of upkept. Go ahead, Rhonda, please.
No, I understand completely what you're saying, Alex. In this particular case, we had proposed this because we did do a traffic calming, some speed humps by the school, but the students are still reporting a lot of speeding. And there is a school and a park, like a very large park, immediately sandwiching both. There's just a lot of kids there. So the kids in the school and everyone that we've consulted with thinks that having some more visibility there will help increase pedestrian awareness and heightens visibility for that area.
And Alex, I think that's a good point. And I'll definitely follow up in my conversations with the city about what our hopeful but also realistic expectations can be for asphalt art moving forward.
Yeah, I feel like it needs its own category of maintenance that's has an end date, you know, of like 5 years, because it's a lot for anyone to keep maintaining. But also I did a lot of chalk art, and I think the beauty of chalk art is, and like street art is impermanence. It's like built into this, the nature of it. I think so. It's not something that I personally think has to be maintained in perpetuity. It can wear and tear and stuff. But anyways, yeah, I am. It seems like it's a great project for the area and for what you guys are needing.
With that said, I'm just curious if there was any other sorts of art forms considered besides doing the road art, like sculptural or mural or anything like that? Or has this kind of been the one idea?
I'm sorry, can you repeat the beginning of the question? It cut out a little bit.
Yeah, sorry, I'm in my car. I was just curious if other forms of art were considered other than doing the artwork on the road, like if they thought about doing a mural or something maybe a little more permanent. Or
go ahead, Rhonda.
So if I might, there is no real area to put a mural there. There's nothing there but just road. So it'd be hard to put anything like that at that location. So this originated because this was an America Walks application. We had worked with the Living Streets Alliance to talk about what would be reasonable for a $1,500 grant. And then we ended up getting the $1,500 grant from the CDC. So we were like one of 10 communities in the whole United States that got this America Walks grant. We were very excited. And then we found out that the permitting could be $2,000. And so Ward 2 was like, well, you're going to need more money if the permitting's more than the grant. So they came up with a $3,500 ARPA grant, and it's more expensive than I guess we anticipated when we initially were looking for what can we do with $1,500. We thought that would be something that would be doable, because all the other traffic calming interventions are pretty pricey. And we did do the speed humps, speed tables, I'm sorry, like 3 years ago. So that's where we were.
Okay, that makes sense. Thanks for answering that. Appreciate it.
Janet, you had your hand up, and then Margaret after.
Yeah, so I'm thinking, seeing as you are using this as like a speed intervention, more of and a little bit of a safety enhancement there as well, correct? So I can see where you know, the city or public art could pitch in to keep it up, since it's not just a piece of art. It's serving a dual purpose. And one of them is safety for the kids.
So, if I can just
build up. Go ahead.
When we did ask for some help at the with DTM, with the speed tables, they did a speed study that showed that, I don't know, it was a like 65% of cars were going too quickly through that little section. And we have not revisited that since, but that was part of our intervention, intercept interviews with the students. We asked the students and the staff and the crossing guards, like, what are you still seeing? And they're still seeing speeding. And so that was one reason that we did think that making sure that people were saw that this was that would be helpful, just to add that visibility. And it's something that DTM is looking more and more at in the neighborhood safety arena, is adding more of these kind of art asphalt projects. So that's where we are on that too.
Margaret? Margaret, you had your hand up.
Looks like her screen may have froze.
Yeah, I think she's frozen. Or she's sitting very still.
Well, in that case, does anyone else have any additional questions?
You know, my only other comment too was that that is a big part of Complete Streets. Is doing street art, correct? Yep.
Move to approve the project.
Second.
Okay, I will do roll call. Alex Jimenez.
Approve.
Thank you. Ann Lopez.
Approve.
Thank you. Corinne Cooper.
Approve.
Thank you. Jim Glock.
Approve.
Thank you. Janet Fisher.
Approve.
Thank you. Anna Smith.
Approve.
Thank you. Lara Somers.
Approve.
Thank you. Margaret Joplin.
Approve.
Thank you. Maureen Lewick. Approve. You're muted. Okay. Bob Clark.
Approve.
Thank you. And Valerie Sitt.
Approve.
Thank you. We do have a unanimous approval.
Thank you, Rhonda.
Exciting. Congratulations. Thanks for coming, Rhonda. I'll follow up with next steps.
Thanks, everyone. Maybe we can, I guess we'll put that on the request for next month's agenda, some of what we were talking about, because it keeps coming up. So our next agenda item was to do the public art collection review and keep moving forward with that. And Janet had graciously volunteered to keep on with doing the midterm, a look at the midterm. Lethe, can you share, enable screen sharing so Janet can share her screen?
Yes, it is enabled.
And Janet, are you comfortable knowing how to share your screen? it's the yeah, button.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I know how to share it if it works. Let's see, hold on.
And the purpose of this being to just go over our collection again with everybody systematically. So maybe we can have more conversations later about our collection and what's missing, what we'd like to see more of, et cetera.
Okay, can you guys see my screen?
Yes.
Now, let's see how I get to where I'm going. Oops. Okay, so I'm going to go into Central. And I actually chose to go through the art at the university. And I don't know how many of you are familiar with that, but, you know, I have 15 minutes and there's probably 15 pieces of art here. And I was also, you know, it's a terrible time of year to go looking at art, but the university is actually pretty cool. So, and I walk my dogs there. So I have spent the last couple of weekends going through there and just looking at some of the art again, because it's interesting. I've been walking my dogs there for 15 years. And I'm like, well, I don't remember seeing that one, but a lot of them I do remember seeing. And what was interesting to me when I'm looking at this, a lot of these pieces have been moved around the university. So they're not in the places that they say they're in. So if you're using the map, it's outdated. But anyway, let's go through what's here. And let's see, is this going to come up? There it is. This piece, and I don't know how many of you are familiar with the university, but it's pretty interesting, you know, that there's so many pieces that are there that have been there for a long time, though. I don't think there's many that are new. And I'm just going to go through and load on some of the
Is some Clemens of the, the one who did the fountains?
The same. Which you mean the fountain, the slabs that are there in front of this building?
Yes, he's the one who did the fountain in outside of City Hall.
Or the one in La Placita.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, by the music hall.
Yeah, there it is. Around town.
Did he live here?
Well, that's interesting.
That's a great question. And I don't know.
You know, he did live here, and I'll tell you why I know that. He was a very good friend of one of the professors at the university that had been there forever, and they were just real good friends. I know that. I didn't know him personally, but I knew the professor. So, and there's a picture of it. It's in the admin building. So if you're walking down the mall, you'll see it, maybe, if you're looking. So that is one of the pieces. And it shows, now this is where the map is not quite right. But it is here. You're walking down the mall here. There's the student center over there. And then if you just walk straight this way is the admin building. And that's where this piece of art is. So let's see. The next piece of art. Oh, I don't know how to. This is what I don't know how to do. I don't know how to get back to the. There it is. So this one has been there forever since 1967, Hippocrates. And it's actually not on campus. It's in front of the medical center on just off of Campbell. So marble sculpture, been there for a long time. 8 feet tall. But these are the only images we have of it. The next piece, and I'll tell you, I'm very familiar with this piece here because I look at it every time I go. I love it. It is really a wonder. So these are, this is at the College of Optical Sciences. And, you know, since they put the new building up, they've kind of tucked this away, which I'm sorry about because it's really beautiful, especially when the sun hits it. But they are, this is just pieces of whatever they make the big mirrors out of. in optical sciences. Here's a close-up. And it's really beautiful in person. It's big. Which we don't really get a sense of when, well, we kind of do there. So yeah, now it used to be more out here. And since the new building, they've really tucked it away inside. So it's, you don't really see it too. That's the mall right there. So unless you're looking, you don't see it. But it's beautiful. This one, this piece of art, I have no idea. I've never seen it. I've been all over the university, never seen it. But when you look at it, it's pretty nondescript piece of steel, Lyman Kip. And they are, let's see, where is this? This is at the Harville Building on Highland. That's it.
It seems like there's like a whole like grouping of forgotten art.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's just true. That is
seems
true.
To sit unappreciated.
Yeah, it is true. A lot of it there. So this is a big piece. It's steel Donald Haskins, larger than life, inspired by Native American petroglyphs. This one has also been moved because it was, this was the student union over here. And I meant to go over this weekend, but I didn't make it to see where it's been moved to, but I know it's not right there anymore. At university. See, they had it right, like this is the student union, this is the mall, and it was right there. And I'm pretty sure, unless it's one of those things where I've walked by it so many times, I don't see it anymore, but now I'm bound and determined to go find it. This one is interesting, I think. And the first sculpture where I was telling you he was friends of the professor at the university, this is the professor, Carl Helt, and this is his piece there. And this is a long time ago. This is, you know, he was a professor there, I don't know, 40 years ago or something. And that is in the main library in the lobby. So it's not outside, it's inside.
I wonder if it's still there after all the renovations.
Yeah, I don't know either. I don't know what else they would do with it. So I think it might be there. But one of my questions too, is I need to go in there and see if I can, if it's still there or where they've moved it to. Don't know. A lot of these photos are very, very old. Some other sculptures here. And, you know, it's interesting because these kind of sculptures, these bronzes, they're all over the university, but they kind of fit into the landscape so well, you really don't see them. I only have the one photo of it. It's a bronze by Francisco Zuniga, 1978. It's a rather large piece, 81 inches tall. And this one, I actually have the flute player. This one has also been moved, but it was at the main library in front. Oops, flute player. And I actually have a personal story about this. So this is probably about 10, 15 years ago. I used to walk my Australian Shepherd there all the time. And she was off-leash dog. And one day she just ran up to the sculpture and she's jumping on it. And she's real interested. And I'm like, what is she doing? And so we walked up to it and someone had taken their bra and put it on the sculpture. And my dog was like, wow, this is different. It was pretty funny. Anyway, that is there in front of the university or in front of, well, it's not in front of the library anymore, and I am not quite sure where they've moved that either, but you can, here's some pictures. One was there. This is another nice big sculpture. Dennis Jones. Where is this one? This is at the College of Law.
I was going to say.
So it's
did you read that description? It says that it's supposed to be rotated monthly.
I do not know if it's still there. That would be across the street, across Speedway from campus.
Who's the official rotator?
Yeah, right? Who picks that thing up and takes it somewhere?
That's a great question.
Or turns it, whatever.
Yeah, that base does not look rotatable. That looks like a...
It's set on a rotating base.
As of 2022, it's still at the law school. I've seen it a lot.
You've seen it where?
Being rotated.
Yeah, that's what I'm wondering if they do. It reflects different things as it's rotated. That's interesting. So they're saying it's rotated. Doesn't say on a monthly basis, right? So I have to go by there this month and the next month and see. That's kind of cool, though. This is another one that's at the main library, the girl with doves, another bronze. Here's the whole thing. And of course, it has moved from its original position because that whole mall has been reworked. But I know that it's still out in front. So it's not there. It's kind of like in here.
Did anyone notice? I feel like all the artists we've seen so far are all male.
This is a long time. All of this artwork has been here forever. You know, there is much new that's at the university. I don't know why. It's because they're too busy building buildings, I guess, instead of artwork. But.
And I don't see any male nudes. Just well, saying.
Hippocrates, kind of.
Yeah. Well, I think you get my drift.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
That's right. Look, 86, 86, 82, 76, 78, 79. Yeah. This one is cute. Aiming to capture the cheerful nature of the state fair, Scott Wallace uses imagery of flower banners and ice cream cones to create his uplifting sculpture. This, and that is, where would that be? I mean, I'm thinking that is at, I haven't seen this one on campus, but it says 1501 North Campbell, so I'm thinking the med center.
It says it's at the Cancer Center.
At the Cancer Center. Oh, so it's at the Cancer Center up north. Yeah, yeah. Okay, got it. Yep, there it is. And then John Button Salmon. So he gets his own sculpture because supposedly he came up with the Bear Down slogan. But so my husband worked for the university for a long time, and he did they did the whole history on the university at one time. And he said, wow, that's a big lie. he had nothing to do with the Bear Down. So I don't know, but he's got his bronze up there anyway. And this is right by the big practice field where the McHale Center is, you know, the new building. He's right there. is another bigger picture of it. Tell them to bear down. Evidently he didn't, so. And then this is the last one we have here, I think, for the university for right now. You know which one that's not in here, which should be, and I don't know if I missed it, is the one when you're first coming in off Campbell, you know, the big, and that was a female artist. So let me see if I can find that. So here, let me just give you some pictures of this one. And this is Dennis Jones. Some details of it.
And did you have your hand up?
I did. So the one that you see is called Marching Clothespins. That's the one right there on Campbell. And two that are missing on the mall. One of them is the Wildcat Family.
Yes, that's not in here. You're right.
That's not in there. And there's another one that's a Wildcat just not too far away from the Button Salmon.
And what's that one?
It's another Wildcat.
An actual Wildcat.
An actual, well, the real bronze cat. But
it's right on Campbell, right in front of McHale, near the entrance to the museum.
And the Wildcat Family is close to where those slab fountains are.
Yeah, where the fountains are. It's right across from the fountains, correct. So I'm just going to go back here and see if I can find that. I thought that was in this bunch, you know, at the beginning. The marching clothespins, which, by the way, is in very bad shape. We were walking by it the other day, and it is just cracking all over, and the paint is peeling, and it's not in good shape at all. But I don't see it here, and I don't know why. I thought...
So there's a new building at the corner of Park and Fifth, which might be Sixth, I can never figure out what street that is. But there's a new building, and right at that corner, there's a facade on the building that when you drive by changes. And I wonder, is that considered architecture, or is that part of the art collection?
So is it that perforated metal?
It's perforated metal. It's on the north. East corner of that intersection. And when you, I'm saying Park, but it can't be Park because you can't drive down Park there. It must be Euclid. And when you drive past it from south to north, the facade changes. You see, I think it's like a sandstone cliff motif. It's hard for me to remember exactly what it is, but I think it's like a slice of the desert.
Oh, wow.
I know the one you're talking about, if I can just jump in quick. I know the one you're talking about, and I don't know anything about that as an artwork. But yeah, it's right at Euclid and Sixth right there. Sorry.
Go ahead, Jen.
Is it part of the building, or is it self? Does it stand alone? Is it standalone?
It is part of the building, but it stands apart from the building, but it's integrated into it.
Well, I guess, I mean, I'm assuming that would be architectural, but you know, they have been doing a lot of architectural elements on the buildings there that are really interesting. And what they did at the tree lab. Have you all seen that building?
Yeah.
You know, it was funny because I was standing there. We were just standing there looking at it one day, and the architect walked up and he was looking at it. This was first being built. And he said, you know, all those tubes that are metal, they were supposed to be wood. And they were going to, the intent was that they sway and kind of make a sound, you know, when they hit each other, but it was totally not feasible as far as the maintenance on it. So they ended up making them all metal and making them permanent. But yeah, there are some very interesting buildings that they've incorporated some architectural detail. Anyway, these are all the ones that they have listed for the Midtown University area.
Thanks,
Janet. And it's fun. It's fun to walk the university. So if you ever get a chance to do it, it's really a beautiful place.
Abby, I bet you that the U of A has a ton of artwork that's their private collection that's on public view. Yeah. Why are these particular works in our public art collection? And why is it just this? It seems to be a very small time frame. Like some agreement was made and then changed.
So, as far as why it is just these ones included, I don't have exactly all of the information, but the U of A does have a public art program that manages their collection. And actually, I believe some of these are in their collection. Most of these are in their collection. And I think we just have them on our website since they're like notable pieces around town. They have like their own public art channels that handle the collection.
I can chime in a little bit. Some of the works were in partnership with the city as a capital improvement, so they fell under the 1% program. Some of them are privately made, so they're not on our map.
What's strange is that there would have been no capital improvement art related things since 1980-something.
You know, there are newer pieces there, but I think they are part of the university and not public, I think. Unless we just don't have them listed there.
It just seems like, would it make more sense to, like, consider having U of A, if they already consider it part of their collection, it not being part of the city's collection, because, well, not only because of cost, but also because of, we get a very false sense of public art on the U of A from this sort of listing, because it looks like there's only this period of time, and then they're all male sculptors, which is like super not diverse. And I'm assuming the U of A has a more broad collection of public art than that in their records. And what you guys are saying, there's more work that you're not seeing on these maps. Is that something that the Arts Foundation has thought about doing, like trying to give back some of the stewardship to people who might be able to steward it?
That's a great question. And it is not a conversation that's come up, but it's one to keep in mind.
Okay, well, thank you so much, Janet, for leading and lending your personal experience with these objects. It's kind of cool.
Yeah, and you know, another thing, by the way, if you guys probably already know this, but the Center for Photography is Linda McCartney show right now, which is excellent. So and anybody who hasn't seen it, it's a great thing to go see. And I think it's going to be there through maybe part of August at least. So, but you know, yeah, I did think this was interesting because when I, you know, like I said, I've been walking the university for a long time, and I didn't realize that these were public artworks, but like you said, they might not necessarily be, you know, they're just on the website. So I don't know, it's something interesting to look at. But anyway, yep, that concludes my little tour of the university. Thanks.
Thanks again. Maureen, you had your hand up.
You're muted.
Oh, you're on mute.
I'm sorry. I was docenting at the U of A Museum of Art before the pandemic, and they do have docent-led public art tours of the campus, And if you can get eight adults together, they're not doing them until July 30th. I don't know why, but maybe the heat. That's all.
How do you find out about those?
Faculty field trip?
Well, yeah, just go on the U of A Museum of Art website and you can sign up for a tour. And it'll ask you all sorts of questions about what are you looking for. What do you want to see and what are you most interested in finding out about?
Thanks.
Mm-hmm. Great. Margaret, you had your hand up?
Yes, I wanted to follow up along those lines. In front of the U of A's art museum are art pieces by Barbara Grigutis. So there are other art pieces that I don't think are on that list that are way more diverse than what we're seeing.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like. Okay, so I believe Corinne has left, so we don't have quorum. We have to end the meeting?
Yes.
Okay, so I will add that agenda item that I talked about at the beginning. If you all have something else, please just email me for agenda items. Thank you all for being here.
Thank you.
Thank you.